you know, quite recently we've been going through core values. What is, you know, different things in regards to the church? And I believe that we all have a value system, right? And Scripture clearly defines, I mean, God clearly defines His value system. So one of them is what? Love one another as I have loved you. Forgive one another as I have forgiven you. And so you see the value system that God has already established in Scripture, but He has also established value within His creation. And even though His creation is fallen, there is a value system. But however, because of sinful nature, that value system becomes misaligned, it becomes messed up. But when you become a follower of Christ, what happens is that your value system gets realigned with God's value system. Gets realigned with Scripture. It gets realigned as to how He wants it to be. And obviously, our core value theme is love works. Love does work. Love is not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It is something that you do. Love works. You know, the whole fact of ministering to the homeless people is not a thought. It is something that we do here at this church. When we reach out to those who are in need, it's the fact that the love of God within me is not contained within me, but is meant to be shown to the world around me. And so what's the point of saying if I love God and I cannot love my neighbor? You know, I got to love my neighbor as I love myself. And so therefore, you begin to fulfill the greatest commandments God has ever written. So today we're going to be focusing on that core value called what? Stewardship. Everybody say stewardship. And stewardship is faithfully managing God's call and resources. It's not just about resources. It's not just about God's call. It's about both of those things. Sometimes the simple truths get easily overlooked. They really do. Especially when it comes to stewardship. Especially, does God really mean I've got to love my neighbor? Yes. Does God really mean I've got to forgive? Yes. When I think of faithfully managing God's call and resources, one of the first scriptures that comes to my mind is Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. See, everything that we have is on loan to us. You can't take it with you when you're dead. Agreed? You know, for the pharaohs of old thought that they could, like, mummify their cats, their dogs, their servants, and everything else, thinking that they could take it with them into the afterlife. No, absolutely not. We're steward of what God has given us now. Everything that we have around us, everything that we have in our pockets is ours, well, ours by stewardship alone. It's God's. And He has given it to us on loan. And what we do with what He has given us is accounted. It's taken into account. And so, obviously, last week we focused on vision, which was seeing beyond the present. And means it's like, you know, just because your circumstances are the way that they are doesn't dictate to what God has already spoken to you in your life. That's revelation. And you've got to be able to see beyond that. So today we're focusing on stewardship. Next week it's faith, believing God for the impossible. First question is this, is that what is stewardship? Well, as I was looking up, I mean, there's different definitions, but this is the best definition I came across, is that a biblical worldview of stewardship can be consciously defined as utilizing and managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of His creation. It's not yours, it's to actually help improve somebody else's life. What God has given you helps improve somebody else's life. The central essence of the biblical worldview of stewardship is managing everything God brings into the believer's life in a manner that honors God and impacts eternity. Are you honoring God with what He has given you? Are you honoring God in such a way that you're impacting eternity? You know, what you do in time impacts eternity. You can make the eternal difference in time. I'll say that again. What you do with your calling, the resources that God has given you, makes the eternal impact in time. Whether it's finances and time and everything else like that. What is stewardship? First of all, it's recognizing that God is the creator and owner of all things. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, what? God created what? The heavens and the earth. We are created in His image. We're stewardships of the things that he has given us. Knowing all that I have comes from God. Managing responsibly everything God has given me. You know, when God places a person in a position and everything else like that, sometimes it's easy to forget where they've come from. Think of Nebuchadnezzar. And he's like, oh, yeah, look at me. Look where I'm at. You know, look where I'm at. If you read in the book of Daniel, you know what happened to him? He became like the beast of the field. You know, God brought him down. You never forget where you've come from. And fulfilling carefully God's call and God's will for my life. You know, the fact is that what you do with, I mean, the gifts and calling of God are what? Irrevocable. You can't take them back. They're without repentance. You just can't say, well, God, you know, I'm really not called to be an evangelist. Oh, God, I really just don't want to be this. I don't want to be a teacher. I don't want to be this. And you can't do that. You can't do that. The gifts that he's given you, I mean, one of the, especially when I've ministered to very affluent people and wealthy people, is that when you give generously. The Bible says that. And they're like, really? I'm like, yes. The finances that you have, the time that you have, you're stewards of that. And so it's important that what God has given you is to be reciprocated to the world around you. Your life is not your own. You've been bought with what? A price. You are not your own. You're the property of God. More than ever than you could ever imagine. Now here's some of the basic things is that sometimes we overlook that what is God has given you and I that I need to manage. And basically, the first thing is my time. You know what? When you're dealing with homeless people or when you're dealing with anyone, the most precious commodity that you have is your time. And how you invest your time, how you spend your time in another person's life will have more of an impact than the money you give them. Money comes and goes. It is. 1 minute it's there, the next minute it's gone. But what do we have that's constant? Time. My time, what I do with my time, how I invest my time, how I just spend my time with people. Jesus spent what? His time with what? His disciples, didn't he? And he built up his disciples. And it took like 3.5 years until they finally got it, even after the resurrection, you know. And then the next one is this. My relationships with my family, friends, co-workers, and authorities. How faithful you are in those things. Are you managing those things really well? Are you a good steward, you know, when it comes to with your co-workers? Oh, do we really get along with our co-workers? You know, before when I used to work, when I was youth pastoring and I was working full-time back in Britain, I would be like, why am I stuck with some of the worst people on the planet? Well, and I remember one time in my prayer time, I remember going, God, I was complaining. Why am I working with some of these really, really horrible, you know, bad people? He says, so I can bring the best out of you. That's the fact. Sometimes people will rub us up the wrong way in order to make us shine better, even in the church, even in ministry. What else has God given us? Money and possessions. One of the greatest examples that I ever had in my life, personal examples when it came to money and possessions, were my grandparents. They would actually open their house up to missionaries. And we would have guaranteed every week there would be people from different parts of the world and there would always be something different on the table to eat. So I grew up learning what it was to eat sheep's brains, liver, kidneys, heart, intestine, all those beautiful things. I think God, in his foresight and his foreknowledge, knew that I would come to Korea and eat such things. And my grandparents were so selfless. They would just be there providing, giving. And it was through them that I learned that I'm not afraid to give the shirt off my back. There's an old saying, you know, that, you know, somebody who doesn't, you know, care for themselves but cares for others, they're willing to give the shirt off their own back. And my spiritual father back in America, he lives in Pennsylvania, Jesse Owens. He actually, there's a story, I'm not sure if it was him or somebody else, but they were in London. There was a homeless guy, and he didn't have any shoes. And he just happened to have the same size feet. So he says, "You don't have any shoes?" And it was kind of cold. So you know what he did? He took his shoes off and gave them to the guy. And he walked around with his socks on and goes to a store and buys himself another pair of shoes. They were like, and that action alone had such an impact in that man's life. I think he ended up going in the Teen Challenge program because of that one. It sounds ridiculous. Why would I want to give up my shoes when it's cold? Well, why not? When it comes to money and possessions, it kind of can be unsettling. If you don't have much, give what you have. If you have a lot, give what you have. The next thing, my talents, abilities, and spiritual gifts. One of the greatest things that I find a challenge as within the church is that you know that there are people that I know that there are people that sit right before me who have gifts and who have talents, but when it comes to Sunday, they go, "This is my day, and I'm taking it off." Listen, it's not your day. It's the Lord's day, and every day is the Lord's day, and the gifts and talents you have are you are meant to be faithfully managing. You are meant to be using for His glory to make an impact for eternity. If you're not doing that, then what are you doing? Nothing. You know, there's one thing I can honestly say about the kingdom of God, that it, and the church is meant to represent the kingdom of God. There is no unemployment in the kingdom of God. Do you agree with that or disagree? There is no unemployment in the kingdom of God. There is no one on welfare in the kingdom of God. God has plans to give you a future and hope. The gifts and talents that you have, you are meant to use. Forgiveness. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Love as you have been loved. Authority. Now, this is a very touchy subject, but the matter of the fact is that God has placed people. Maybe the fact is that you've climbed up the ranks or you're in certain positions. God has placed you in authority, not to abuse that authority, that you may reflect His authority. Jesus knew who He was, and He didn't have to go around waving a big old stick. He knew He was the Son of God. He knew He was the Son of Man. He didn't have to just try and prove Himself. But the fact is, as well, is that sometimes as believers, we can forget that we've been given authority. What is authority? Exousia. It's the exercising of power. Oh, man, oh, the enemy, oh, this and all that, and all everything else, blah, blah, blah. No, use that authority that God has given you. You're a child of God. Use that authority that He has given you. When it comes to stewardship, it's important for us to understand that relationships is very, very important, is that we have to develop positive relationships with other people. There's one thing I can't stand in ministry is that I understand people have their times, they have hard times and everything else, and you come alongside that because the Bible says that we are to help carry one another's burdens, we are to pray for one another, we are to encourage one another. But if you're involved in a relationship that is stripping you away and pulling you down and it's not having a positive effect in your life, you are meant to what? You're meant to distance that relationship. You're meant to cut that off. If it's not building you up, it's tearing you down. And any relationship that affects your, what I call your vision or your goals, if anybody, I always say this, there are two types of people that you will come across. There are life givers and there are leeches. The life givers are the ones that will come along and say to you as it is. They will come along, they will help build you up, they will confront you, they will love you, and they will just be your, you know, be your fans, so to speak. They'll be on the sidelines cheering you on. But then you got the leeches, and they're the ones that come along and they just stay on you and they just suck the living daylights out of you. How many of you have ever had that type of person in your life? Next one is keeping relationships clear by resolving conflict. Oh, we live in a world of conflict. Oh, and the enemy, if he can seek to divide and conquer, then, oh my goodness, he's already having a foothold. And the powerful thing of resolving conflict, I mean, you can read 2 Corinthians chapter 15 is that all believers have been, as new creations, we are involved in the ministry of reconciliation. And we've been given the message of reconciliation, as you read further on into chapter 5. And then at the end, Paul says, be reconciled. But in that passage alone, with the ministry of reconciliation, he says that we're ambassadors for Christ. And ambassadors come with a message. They come with a sense of purpose. So the ministry of reconciliation has a sense of purpose. Learning to forgive and ask for forgiveness is very, very key. Knowing that you're an ambassador is important. Knowing that you have a ministry and a message and a command. Following God's directions for your for relationships with my authorities. Sometimes one of the things is that when you see people involved in relationships they know they shouldn't be involved in, and you try to speak into that person's life, and they go, "How dare you? How dare you?" And they get all riled up and everything else, and you're like, "Oh, no. I'm trying to be a source of influence here because the person that's being a source of influence in your life is not good." And then people, they get all kind of funny, especially when it's boyfriend, girlfriend, and they go on missionary dating. Some teachers that come here, whether they're male or they're female, and they're going, "Oh, yeah, I met a guy. Oh, yeah, I met a girl." And I'm going, "Really?" And I'm like, "Yeah." I said, "What church did they go to?" "They don't. I want to bring them to church." I'm like, "No missionary dating here." And before you know it, I'm having to deal with the fact of, "Oh, you tried to do this, and oh, I ended up sleeping with her." And I'm like, "Oh, I told you so." Because sometimes, even when you're at work, and the people that you work with, and you're trying to speak into their life about relationships, man, "Who are you, God?" "No, I'm your friend, and I'm trying to tell you what you're doing is wrong." And following God's direction for relationships with those under my authority, one of the things that God has given us when it comes to being faithful stewards of is time and people. And sometimes we can abuse both things. We can waste our time and we can waste people's lives. And I've seen it happen in churches where a person's gifts and talents are milked right out of them. And when they're of no further use, they're just dumped aside. Oh, okay, no good. And I've seen, unfortunately, I've seen it happen here in Korea. I've seen people just, you know, they're used and they're used and they're used to the point where they're burned out. And they're like, "Oh, sorry, we can't use you anymore now." I'm thinking, how incredibly cruel is that? Because you're wasting relationships. And so for me, for example, my team here at the church and the teen challenge is that I seek to build them up because as I feel as though they're being successful makes me feel that I'm being successful. And being able to help those under my authority is to be able to prop them up. I want, for example, my desire for anyone that walks into this church is for them to do better than what they can even imagine. Sometimes I dream dreams for other people. And people are like, "Man, are you crazy?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's why I'm here." And of course, realize ministry is built on relationships, not money. Sometimes I've come across people that are going, "Oh, I need the money, I need the money." No, what's the point if you don't have people, you don't have money? Sometimes we put the cart before the horse, and we should be putting the horse before the cart. Ministry is built on relationships. It's built on people. Again, I refer to the fact that Jesus took 12 men, knowing that one of them was going to betray him, but he still took them, and he invested his life into those 12 men, and they went, and they took the message. And you look at, for example, the Apostle Paul, you look at the fact that he invested. If there's anybody that shows you a clear example of a man who had a mission and he was a spiritual father, he wasn't just a teacher. He was an apostle and he was a father figure. He raised up men and he raised up spiritual sons. And the fact is that everything that when you read in Paul's writings, it's relational. Clearly, clearly, because he's dealing with people. Now, when it comes to the people, for example, that you work with and the ministry that God would have you in and that God would have you to develop, it's about people. I remember Rich Wilkerson, when he came to the Bible college many years ago, he says, listen, if you're here to think ministry, to get that just by being a pastor or being a minister or whatever you're called to be, God's called you to be, is about money, he says, you better get out now from this Bible college. You better leave now. He said, because ministry is about people. And he says, money follows ministry, not vice versa. So how can I be a good steward of my resources? Well, use wisely the material resources of the ministry. Luke 16:10 through 12, Jesus says that the one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in what? Much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. Notice, much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you to you true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? And when it comes to using material resources, even financial resources, which kind of goes with both the first and second one there, the material and the financial thing, is that if you can't be faithful with the little that God has given you, there is no way he who owns everything will entrust you with the much. You've got to be faithful with the little. It's the little things that count with God, not the big things. It's the little things that have a big impact in the kingdom of God. That's a fact. It's the little things that make it. You know, there's an old saying, mountains are made out of molehills. And so when it comes to the little things, in God's sight, they have a much bigger impact than what we could even imagine. Because if we can't be faithful with this little thing, he's not going to entrust you with this much. So you got to be really, really wise when it comes to the material and the financial. And when it comes to personal resources, your personal finances, and these things, it says contribute. Paul says in Romans 12:13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. It means you don't neglect. It means you don't turn a blind eye. Oh, I see so-and-so is maybe having a hard time. And we are to contribute to the needs. That means you got it, you give it. Whether it's you cook them a meal, you take them out, or you help them financially and everything else. Now, I don't wish to embarrass, she's not here right now, but I'm going to embarrass her anyways. But Nargiza, I know she's from Uzbekistan, and she's looking to go back to Uzbekistan. Now, for those of you who don't know, but she's blacklisted because she was arrested by the foreign agencies there. It's going to be difficult for her to get a job, and it's only going to be by the hand of God that she will get work. But she's looking to come back to Korea, and I pray that God opens the doors for that to happen and that there will be financial resources available to her. But I strongly urge you to contribute to the needs of that dear sister, because she doesn't have the freedoms and privileges we do here in Korea or in Canada or in America or in Britain or whatever the case may be. Now, I'm not just saying that in other countries they have those freedoms too, but what I'm saying is that we got to pray for, not just pray, but actively show and contribute to the needs of this dear sister. And actually, I want to promote something right now, is that one of the things Renee does here is that she makes the jewelry because she's trying to build up a ministry that is looking to help young women come out of prostitution and show them a trade, or just basically helping those who can't help themselves. So by helping her, you're contributing to the needs of the saints. That's practical, right? You want to know practical? That's that. Use wisely my time. Man, I don't mind going to the movies. I enjoy the movies. But then if I know that there's something I know I need to do, and I'm not being faithful in using my time wisely, then I've got to pull myself into subjection. I've got to call myself into self-examination. So it's important that all of the things, the material, the financial, the personal, and the time is important. And how you use those things are very, 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 very important. Now, sometimes in a church, some people think, well, you know, especially if they're new believers or they're not too sure about stewardship and everything else, especially when I've dealt with people out in the street and you invite them to church, one of the first things they say is, oh, you want my money. No, I want you and your money. That's what I say. And they look, what? What do you mean you want me? I said, because you're important to God. Money's a byproduct. But when it comes to teaching others about stewardship, it's important. It's very, very important is that what can we teach, especially if you know young believers, right? If you know young believers and they don't know anything about stewardship, well, you got to show them that the fact is that give to God by tithing. Now, what is tithing? Somebody tell me. It's giving your, thank you, it's giving your 10% to God. The fact is that God, the creator of heaven and earth, and everything that belongs to him, all he says is, just 10%. And what does that 10% go towards? It goes towards the priesthood. It goes to the Levites. If you read in the Old Testament, basically in the New Testament terminology, it would go to the working of the church. It would go to helping building up resources in the kingdom here in the church and taking care of the needs of those who serve in the church by giving to God, giving the tithe. And the fact is that when it comes to tithing, some people, you know, they find it very difficult if they have very little, but you got to tithe even if you have very little. If you only made, for example, 300,000 won this week, what do you give? Your tithe is 30,000 won. If you only made 150, you give 15,000 won. You're giving your tithe. It's not an offering. Your tithe and your offering are completely separate. And obviously, helping those to understand that everything that they have comes from God. You know, a lot of young believers out there, they need to be taught that when it comes to finances, it's very, very important. It can be a touchy subject, but it's something, Jesus spoke about it, why can't we? So it's very important. And basically, the transferring of ownership of their possessions to God, by realizing, going, hey, this isn't mine, it belongs to God. I'm very quick to give up things. If somebody has a need for something, not a want. Now remember, God will meet your need, not your wants. Wants are for greedy people. I want, I want, I want. God goes, no, you don't, you don't, you don't. And ask God for direction in using their money, time, and abilities. Because sometimes new believers will come into a church, or, you know, people that you may know who are new Christians and they're really not too sure. You should say, okay, this is what you should do. Ask God, number one, what you should be doing in the church. What gifts, what talents can you do? For example, when a meal goes out, he goes out on a Sunday afternoon and he invests his time, he invests clothing, he invests finances. He doesn't give the homeless people finances, but he purchases fruit and the rest of it, and he hands out fruit. Now, there was an anonymous donation this week of somebody donated 40, I think, for those of you who follow it on Facebook, donated 40 toothbrushes and toothpaste, all in like a case and everything, for the homeless people. That's very practical. I love doing stuff like that, and, you know, the fact is that when you see people donating the clothing or computers and stuff like that, we as a church, you know, when we have clothing swap, we kind of pass it through. We really do. We really give it to people and the rest of it. I remember a few weeks ago, we bumped into a person, and Emil and I, and this particular person, you know, they're a foreign student, and they needed a shirt. Now, I know that they didn't have the resources, but God blessed me with the resources to help this student. So I was able to come alongside this person and just say, hey, don't worry about it. They're like, what? I said, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of you. Why are you telling me this? I said, because I know it's a concern to you. You don't need a word of knowledge when you got somebody who's in need. And you just take them and you do it. One of the greatest Christian cliches I've ever come across, and I'm sure some of you have come across this personally yourselves, is that I go, oh, you know somebody has a need. You know you have the means to help meet that need. And you just go, oh, I'm going to pray about it. I'll pray for you, brother. I pray for you, sister. Really? And you walk away, and the money that you could have used to help that person, you're sitting there stuffing your face or drinking coffee or whatever the case may be. Now, I'm not saying Starbucks is a bad thing. Everybody likes a Starbucks, right? Nobody likes Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, Krispy Kreme, whatever the case may be. So the question is this, is that where can you start today? Not tomorrow, but today. Where can you start growing in regards to stewardship in your life? Are there areas in your life that you know where what you're doing with your time, what you're doing with your finances, what are you doing with the things God has given you? What are you doing with them? And how can you grow in those areas? Remember, if you're not faithful with this, you're not going to be faithful. He's not guaranteed to make you faithful over this. I want us to take a moment of just what I call reflective prayer. I want you to, I just want you to pray right now. I just want you to say, hey, God. And I know that some of you are here visiting and you're going to be going back to the U.S. But it doesn't matter if you're in the U.S. or you're in Africa or you're in Europe. It really doesn't matter. What matters is what are you doing with the resources God has given you?